We're going to read down through this passage, beginning in verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and theirs as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, affections, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now don't worry, we're going to circle around to get to mothers here in a little while. I'm not totally leaving out the Mother's Day message, but we're here to preach what God wants us to preach. And I want to begin looking at these verses again. Back in verse number 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." We see the warning. The last days perilous times shall come. Now, I think today, if you are going to identify perilous times and identify false doctrine, you have to have good doctrine and sound doctrine. You have to have a Bible foundation. Amen. You have to understand about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, salvation by grace through faith. And we look around and say, well, it seems like some good things are happening in religion. Well, some things are happening. Amen. But perilous times coming, talking about the last days, I believe we're in the last days of the church age. I believe that the perilous times that we're seeing now are the people accepting any old thing as truth. Talked about a little bit later here in the passage, the form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And that's a lot of what's going on today. People talk about being religious and being giving and ministering, but they don't give the honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, without John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without the blood atonement, in Acts 20:28, God purchased the church with His own blood. Without those things, without glorifying Jesus Christ and honoring Him, it's nothing. The Father's not looking down and saying, I love all this religion. He's looking down and He says, I love those that love me and appreciate what I have given. He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says, for by grace ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. People appreciating the gift and honoring and glorifying Jesus Christ for marching to Calvary. He was born a lowly Galilean. He was born marching toward that cross, and He went toward that cross and laid His life down so you and I could have everlasting life. It's not about religion. It's not about church membership. I mean, if you want to talk about church membership, you join the church, you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You're baptized into Christ, spiritually in Christ. You're part of His body, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, according to Ephesians chapter number 5, talking about Christ and the church, the husband and the wife, Adam and Eve, talking about all those things, comparing your relationship with Jesus Christ to a marriage. But the warning is, these perilous times, people falling away from truth, falling away from honoring and glorifying Him. I mean, there are a lot of people out there today that are glorifying and honoring men and almost worshiping men. Oh, if this president gets in, we're going to be all right. If that president gets in, if you're saved, you're going to be all right anyway, amen. It's all Jesus Christ. This place, one of these days, is going to melt with a fervent heat. The elements will dissolve according to this book. So saving this place is not on God's agenda. Saving people, regenerating the earth, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, new heaven and new earth. I've got a Bible. That's what it talks about. The warning is people falling away from the truth. And in verse number 2, we see the wicked. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. Boy, there's one for you. Truce breakers. A man's word's not very good anymore. Now, I know let God be true and every man a liar. God's not a man that he should lie. I understand that. But it used to be that a man's handshake meant something, and now you get 45 pages of ink and 75 signatures, and it doesn't really mean anything. Amen? Men used to be able to stand on other men's words, say, I believe this person's going to keep their word. You know why they believed it? Because they knew people had the fear of God. That people that trusted in the Lord knew that they were going to have to answer for their life. I'm not talking about whether you're eternally saved or not, but people used to put confidence in a man's word. Well, we see where that ended up. We look at the politicians and we look around and say, well, of the people, for the people, and by the people. I think that's exactly what we have. Say, well, you can't trust them. You know why? Because you can't trust men in general. We are being represented by people that are like most of this country. Amen. They've walked away from the truth, walked away from the Bible. There's no fear of God in them. They act like they believe evolution, even if they're saved. They act like they believe we come from nothing, go on to nothing, have to stand and account for nothing. But the truth is, we'll stand before the Lord. If you're saved, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give account for your works. I'm not talking about salvation. You're saved, you're saved. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. Praise God, He didn't just save me, He sealed me. But I will stand and give an account for my work. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you never trusted Him and as a repentant sinner and trusted His death, burial, and resurrection, and blood atonement, you'll stand at the white throne judgment and be judged guilty for rejecting God's Son and be cast into a lake of fire. We see the warning. We see the wicked. You jump down to verse number 7. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We see the wisdom of the world. You know what the wisdom of the world is? We've got it all figured out. If we could just get everybody immunized and all the cows taken out and get some fake meat and make everything that's sane illegal and put a bunch of stupid stuff in and just ridiculous things that man has come up with, science falsely so-called, most of it. If we could just fall in line with what the quote-unquote science says, we'll be all right, we're going to save this planet. Well, they're not accounting for the Bible. Amen? They're not accounting for the Bible. Anthony Fauci's not going to save this planet. Eli Lilly's not going to save this planet. No pharmaceutical company's going to save this planet. No green energy movement's going to save this place. Jesus Christ came to save. Matter of fact, when He took that crown of thorns on His head, He took the curse of the earth on Him, and He's able to regenerate because of what He did on Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection. He's able to come back and regenerate this earth, and He will do that. I've got a Bible. It talks about it in Zechariah. It talks about it in Malachi. It talks about it in Isaiah. It talks about it in Revelation. Paul talked about it. Jesus Christ's ministry was about a kingdom, and the devil didn't defeat Jesus Christ. Amen. That kingdom is still going to come. But He took the curse of this earth, that crown of thorns. Remember, thorns and thistles was part of the curse in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam. Jesus Christ took that on His head. He is the only one that is able and worthy to regenerate. Not only that, He's the only one that's able and worthy to regenerate a soul. The Bible says in Ephesians, you're dead in your trespasses and sins before you come to Christ, and then you're out of sin and placed in Christ. Praise the Lord. All these folks want to argue about baptism of the Holy Ghost and the speaking in tongues and all this stuff. Well, the Bible says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. When you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you're born again, the Spirit of God moves in you. You indwell Him. He indwells you. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Spiritually speaking, you're as good as there right now because your soul has been saved. Like Peter said, his soul has been purified. Amen? Purified. And I like the word justified. Because now when the Father looks at me, it's just if I'd never done anything wrong because I have the Son's righteousness. Amen. It's not about me. You notice it's talking about boasters, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more lovers of men. They boast. They boast in their religion. I have an occasion to talk to people about their souls regularly, and a lot of people say, well, I know I'm going to make it because I'm doing better than the guy next to me. Amen. I know I'm going to make it because I'm trying to keep the golden rule. I've tried to keep the commandments. I've got rid of a lot of sin in my life, and it's all about me, and no mention of Jesus Christ. Well, the fact is, until you come to the point where you realize for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and you go to Him in repentance for salvation, until you come to that point, you're just a lost sinner on your way to hell. I mean, you can try to do all the good things you want, but all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags according to the Old Testament. The New Testament says there's none righteous, no, not one. And it talks about Israel going about to establish their own righteousness and rejecting the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. And most of religion rejects His righteousness, trying to establish their own. And that won't do it. The warning, the wicked, the wisdom of this world is not going to do it. Here's an interesting one in verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, the withstanding of truth. Now think about what happened. Moses goes to him, and God had given him the power to do all these signs and wonders because the Jews require a sign. And he goes and he's dealing with Pharaoh, and these signs and wonders are happening. And Jannes and Jambres and Pharaoh being a type of the Antichrist, he looks at Moses and says, we don't need you. I can do this without you. I understand God's doing something here, but I'm not impressed. We can do it without God. That's what the world does today. They say we can do it without God. They walk away from the truth. They have no need in their mind for the truth. Their hearts are hardened to the point where they think that they'll be just fine without God. They'll tell themselves lies. They'll believe silly things to try to explain away a coming judgment. I've heard people say, well, there is no God. And if there is a God, I believe God is love, and God's just going to let us all in, and we'll get there, and He'll say, come on in. He did say, come on in. He said, come on in at Calvary. He said, His Son, death, burial, and resurrection, His blood atonement was for all men. The Bible says that God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ died, it says, for all. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God, whosoever. I love the word whosoever. That included me. Amen? Whosoever. Now, I understand the Holy Spirit calls, and you can reject or you can accept. I believe that wholeheartedly. I've seen people reject over and over and over again. In the book of Acts, He said, why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? He's telling Israel. Because over and over and over again, they rejected God the Father, they rejected God the Son, they rejected God the Holy Spirit. Three strikes, they're out. He's done with Israel for this time. Blindness in part is coming to Israel at this particular time till the fullness of the Gentiles come in, according to Romans chapter number 11. But Jannes and Jambres withstood the truth and said, we see what you have, but we don't need it because we can make it on our own. And that's what the world says. That's what science says. Science falsely so called. That's what a lot of folks believe. That's what most of religion is. We can go another way. Had that conversation just a little bit ago. We don't go through Mary. It's all Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Mary didn't die for your sins. The Pope didn't die for your sins. The Baptist preacher didn't die for your sins. Your mama didn't die for your sins. Your daddy didn't. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Amen. It's all Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I hear people all the time saying, well, He's a way. Well, then He lied. I say that knowing He didn't. But He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He didn't just stop there. He said, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. The Pope's not getting there unless he goes through Jesus Christ. Your preacher, the only reason your preacher's getting there is because I went through Jesus Christ. If you're going, it's because you're going through Jesus Christ. Amen. I told you the story before. I was talking to a medical doctor one time, and he was a staunch Catholic man, and I was witnessing to him. He said, yeah, but we believe that we need to go to Mary to get to the Son. I said, well, why would you go to Mary to get to the Son? He said, well, don't you still ask your mama if you want cookies out of the cookie jar? I said, there's a problem. I'm not asking for cookies. I was looking for eternal life, amen? I wasn't looking for a cookie jar, for a sugar fix. I was looking for the answer to sin, and I found it on Calvary. The blood atonement of Jesus Christ. The warning, the wicked, the wisdom of the world, the withstanding of truth. Look at verse 9. This stuff's going to come to an end. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, as Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres got to the point where they couldn't proceed anymore. God always wins. Amen. But we see the woe to come. Those folks that reject Jesus Christ, those folks that don't accept the blood atonement, those folks that are going to get in on their own righteousness and their opinion, they're going to just try to do a little better, hopefully get a little better every day, just try to keep the golden rule, try to love the neighbor, and try to give all these things to all these places. Well, that's great. Praise the Lord for good works. But if good works could get you to heaven, Jesus Christ died in vain. It's His work, the finished work on Calvary. He said, it is finished. The woe to come. We talked about this a little bit ago, that judgment, that great white throne judgment where man will stand before God without Christ. If they're without Christ, they'll stand up there and they will give an account and He will say, you're guilty, guilty, guilty. And there won't be any blaming it on the neighbor, blaming it on the preacher, blaming it on the Pope, blaming it on religion, blaming it on your husband or wife or anybody else. They'll look at God and say, you are right, and judge themselves guilty. The game will be over, amen. There'll be no game playing at the white throne judgment. The time to make the decision is now. Say, well, we got to, you see some tragic event like assassination or something, and people say, well, I'm praying for that person. That person made their decision before their last breath. Amen. Now, I understand there's a religious system out there that believes otherwise, but it's just religion. Paul says he's confident, absent from body, present with the Lord as a saved person. He knew where he was going because Jesus Christ paid his debt. Amen? We're not looking to be purged and purified in some kind of a purgatory. Our purification comes at Calvary when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Peter, before he died, while he was walking this earth, he said, he was talking about his purified soul. It had already been purified. That's one thing the Presbyterians, the Methodists, and the Baptists always believed in. At least, I don't know what anybody believes anymore. All I know is what we believe. Well, I believe the book. But they used to believe you were saved and you were sealed. And they weren't playing any religious games where you have to jump through this hoop to make sure. Just make sure you're right with God through Jesus Christ. I believe repentance is still a Bible doctrine. Repent and trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But the woe to come. Verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's the way of truth. You know what the way of truth is? The way of truth is you're walking a path, and if you're walking with the Lord and you're focused on the Lord, you're going to suffer some persecution. It doesn't say the way of truth is God's going to make you wealthy. God's going to make sure that you have no problems in this life. Paul walked with God, but the Bible calls him a pattern for Christians, a pattern for believers. And Paul was beaten, stoned, imprisoned, and eventually killed for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how the prosperity preachers deal with that. But Paul didn't have a mansion on this earth, and Paul wasn't running around bragging on God blessing him with all this money. He was running around bragging on Jesus Christ to the point where everybody... Everywhere he went, there was somebody that wanted to take his life. The way of truth. The way of truth is a narrow way. The Bible talks about the narrow way. And the way, you know why it's so narrow? Why people don't want to walk the way of truth? There's a lot of pain involved in the way of truth. Amen. Persecution, suffering. But you know what we don't have to worry about? We don't have to worry about eternal damnation. We don't have to worry about eternal suffering. I like what the old preachers used to say. They used to say, to the lost, this is the only heaven they'll ever have. To the saved, this is the only hell we'll ever experience. There's some truth to that. When you draw your last breath, absent from the body, present with the Lord, praise God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're looking for His glorious appearing, our blessed hope. But in the meantime, the way of truth, and to be honest with you, to lay it out there truthfully, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse number 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in all things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know what it doesn't say? Make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in your works, through faith that is in the Baptist church, through faith that is in keeping the golden rule. It says faith in Christ Jesus. He kept everything that we can't. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's one thing nobody wants any part of anymore in religion. Get rid of the doctrine. For reproof. For correction. Nobody wants correction. Amen. Nobody wants to be corrected. That's why people don't like the Bible anymore. I mean, you can say, I love the Bible and all that, and but are you reading it? And if you read it and it says you're wrong, do you get right with it? Most people don't want to read it. They want to hang the rainbow flag out front, pretend like all sin is just whatever, and just compromise and say, we just want to all get together. Well, the only way that everybody's going to have unity and worldly wisdom is everybody's going the wrong direction. And I think most of religion today, most churches are going the wrong direction. The truth is still the truth. A male is still a male, a female is still a female, and nobody's going to change that, amen? Whatever the doctor put on your birth certificate 50 years ago, still true today. I don't care how you dress it up, amen? Some of y'all got an F and flunked your birth certificate. I don't know what to tell you, but it's still an F. You draw another leg on there like you used to do in grade school, it doesn't make it an A, amen? God made them male and female. He either made you a male or a female, amen? We can't get together on Antichrist agendas and call it church. We get together unified in the truths of the Word of God focused on Jesus Christ. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's all about Him. We're offering people to get in through Jesus Christ. We're not trying to get out and become worldly and carnal and deceitful. That's deceit, by the way. For a preacher to stand in a pulpit and say, anything goes, your sin's fine, come as you are, stay as you are, don't worry about it, just put some money in the plate, everything will be all right, is deceit. It's wickedness. It's one of the most evil things that a man could ever say. Amen. Say, well, I love people. Well, if you love people, you'll tell them the truth. We can give the truth in love, and it's still the truth. Amen. The wisdom to prevail. It comes from the Scripture. I would, after talking to people for 20-some years about the Lord, I would venture to guess that probably 1% of the church-going population could recite 3 Bible verses. Amen. 1%. And probably less than 50% of the pastors could recite 3 of them. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what I found in talking to people. You start talking about the Bible and people start becoming ill. They start making faces and they start turning Bible tracts into origami. And again, oh, yeah, we go to church. Where you go to church? Honey, where's that church at? I'm telling you, this has happened so many times over the years. People are faithful churchgoers. They don't know where they go. And I said, what's preacher's name? What's his name? And I'm like, well, we need to stop by that place that doesn't exist, amen? Because they went to church one Easter 45 years ago, and now they're faithful church members, amen? But it boggles my mind. They don't want it. You know why? It convicts them that they're not doing what's right, and they try to tell you, they find out you're a preacher, and it's like you got some kind of superpower, like you're going to go to God and tell on them. God already knows, amen? He already knows that they don't know where their church are, is and where their preacher is and who he is, and they haven't been there in 25 years. But he does know they go to the soccer games, they go to the rock concerts, they go to the booze fest, they go to the Olive Garden, they go to Texas Road. They go to all these places, and on Sunday morning, that's their day. Amen. Forget the Lord, that's their day, because they worked hard all week. And they'll get up and they'll go to the grandkids' stuff 55 miles away and watch them kick a soccer ball, but they won't walk 15 feet down the street to go to church for Jesus Christ. Oh, we go to church. Where is it? I can't remember the name of that place. It's right down there by what's that other place? If you're going to prevail, you're going to prevail by the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I mean, here you got all kinds of religious stuff out there that is unrighteous, unholy, unclean, just heretics everywhere. And they'll look at a man. Well, they'll look at a male and say he's got a prestigious position in this religious system, so he must be righteous. And the truth is far from that. Righteousness comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Righteousness comes through lining up this book. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I just want to be right. Well, then read your Bible. You're not going to know if you're wrong until you know what right is. Amen. I'm a Bible believer. I don't care about this Baptist stuff and this Presbyterian stuff, this Catholic stuff, all this stuff. I believe the book. If you believe the book and you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we can fellowship. Amen. If you read it, we can have some sweet fellowship. We can talk about the Scripture. But I like a preacher friend of mine. He said, I told this guy, he said, you know what I'd be if I wasn't a Baptist? He said, what's that? Ashamed. And I thought that was funny, but you know what? The truth is, if I didn't believe what the old school Baptists believed, I'd be ashamed. Forget the name Baptist. I believe what they believed before they were called Baptist. I believe what the Donatists believed. I believe what the Waldensians believed. I believe what the Bergamot. I believe we can go down a line of different names that existed before the Baptist and Presbyterian Methodist churches ever existed that believed the book. Amen. Say, well, the Baptist started in 1600-something by John. No. The name come about at a certain time, but the belief system carries back to the apostles. Now, I understand some of the Baptists don't believe what we believe because they don't believe the book anymore. But there were people believing this book before the name Baptist was ever a thing. Amen. Matter of fact, there was a guy named Martin Luther that believed this book so much. Amen. He wasn't a Baptist, but I'll tell you what he was. He was right on some doctrine. The just shall live by faith. You know what he realized? The people that he'd been learning under, the people that he'd been part of, the system that he was in, was not living by faith. And a verse of Scripture opened his eyes. Religion didn't open his eyes. Religion had his eyes shut. A verse from the words of God opened Martin Luther's understanding of the truth. I don't think he got far enough away from that religious system he was in, but he did make some big steps away. Amen. God opened his eyes to truth, and there was a reformation that took place. There was a counter-reformation. There was all kinds of attacks on those that believed the truth. The devil don't let go of things easily. I've seen people sitting in a church pew out vibrating, with an altar call vibrating, and their teeth almost swapping holes. They're vibrating, they're clinging onto the back of that pew in front of them, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, says, you need to get saved. You need to trust the Lord. The devil says, yeah, everybody's going to know you're lost. You're all right. If you'll just do what you keep doing, maybe you can do a little better here. Maybe you could just give up on you and trust Jesus Christ. Amen. The wisdom to prevail. You say, well, it's Mother's Day. This isn't very Mother's Day. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, he told Timothy back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know what Timothy had? He had a grandmother and a mother that believed the book. A grandmother and a mother that believed Scripture, and the faith that he had. Say, well, Timothy didn't have this Bible. God, there's always been Scripture. It was in Hebrew once. It's been in part of an Aramaic and Greek. There's always been words of God out there. I believe we have the complete perfect revelation for the English-speaking people right here. But Timothy knew the Scripture from a child, and he knew it because of his mom. Happy Mother's Day, amen? Because if there's a man out there, if you look at the lives of great men out there that the Lord would call good and faithful servants, you look at people like Timothy, you look at people like D.L. Moody, you look at a lot of the major preachers you can think of, the guy that preached against booze all the time. Billy Sunday. You look at these guys, and I'll bet you that you're going to find a woman in their history, a mama or a grandmama or both, that believe Scripture. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. This verse, I believe, one word in this verse defines a godly mother. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good member of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You know what his grandma Lois and his mother Eunice did? They nourished him. They nourished him. So will they give him a bottle and they give him some pretzels and they give him some Gerber green beans and all that? No. Nourished up in the words of faith. True nourishment comes from this book. You wonder why you talk to people all the time about the Lord and they seem so confused? I believe they're anemic. They're missing something in their spiritual blood, if you will. Because nourishment on a spiritual level comes from a spiritual book. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus Christ said. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how does this relate to Mother's Day? Because Timothy was the man he was because of his grandmother and his mother passing down a belief in Scripture and nourished him in the Word. Nourished him in the Word. You can't understate the importance of a mother loving the Lord and believing the book. None of us are perfect. But there's a reason God made men, men, and women, women. They balance each other out. Men are not generally nourishers by nature. We can become that way if necessary, and sometimes we can do that to an extent. And that's kind of my job as a pastor, is to nourish you in the Word. But women have a nourishing, God-given nature. Remember, we read earlier talking about the last days. Without natural affection. Natural affection is almost gone today. I thank God for a lady that'll be a lady. Amen. Thank God for men, it'll be men. God didn't vacuum your testosterone out of you and turn you into a jellyfish when you got saved, man. Amen. He just said, line up with my word and be a man. The Bible says, quickly like men. He's talking about standing up in battle. Be men. We're in a battle, a spiritual battle. And it takes some grit to stand up and say, I don't care what the whole world believes, I believe this. And I'm sticking with this. And it takes a lady, a mom, that loves the Lord, that believes the book, to nourish a family by nourishing the young ones. Raising up Timothy's. I guarantee you, if you look into the history of the, like I said, the greatest preachers that we could remember in our time, there's a mama back there somewhere and a grandmama. I witnessed black folks all the time over in Richmond. And I've heard, not just Richmond, but all over the country in different places, I've talked to them about the Lord. And I've heard this more times than I can count. My auntie is praying for me. My grandma's praying for me. My mama told me what you're telling me, and I never listened. It's not because the meal wasn't offered, because they rejected it. But it's almost always a mama, a grandmama, or an auntie that has been bragging on Jesus Christ, telling them, you need to get in that book, and get that book in you, and get in the Lord, and get in church, and line up with the things that are godly. It's almost always a mama. I mean, occasionally I hear, well, my great uncle was a pastor. But boy, where the rubber hits the road and where people get serious about talking about the Lord, most of the time, if they're talking about a family member that's on them and praying for them, it's usually a mama or a grandma. You know why? Men are busy, man. We're hunting, kill people. We gotta go do stuff. Love our families. We're supposed to provide for them. But there's something a mama can provide that a daddy can't. And it's a true nurturing in a way that only a mother can nurture. The Bible talks about the Lord and His... You look at Adam and Eve, and they both... And you look at a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife, they both have attributes of God, because God talks about Himself as a nurse. Talks about Himself as a man of war. All these things that God is, it takes two of us to even come close to it, amen? A man and a woman to live out His attributes as best we can. But God made them male and female. And He did it for a reason. And God knows, and He knew from the beginning, there was something about a mama and nourishing. And Paul nails it down here and says, you were nourished to Timothy. You were nourished in the words of truth. Thank God for mamas, amen? Thank God for mamas. Thank God for Paul. He wasn't afraid to preach the truth. He wasn't afraid to stand on truth. He wasn't afraid to die for the truth. He was a man. Not just a male. Amen? So if you flunked your birth certificate and got an F on it, that's the way God intended it, amen? Because He wants mamas to be nurturing, loving, and bring balance to a male-female relationship that only a mama can bring. And only a mama can bring. Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for mothers. I ask for Your blessing on them this Mother's Day. That You'd bless them in a mighty way. Comfort hearts. Strengthen and comfort minds. And Lord, help us, ground us in Your truth, that we be found right in the middle of Your will when You call us home. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank You for eternal life and eternal security. And thank You for the opportunity to brag on You to the lost. And we'll thank You and praise You for everything You do all the way to the cross, Lord. You did the cross, and we'll pick up our cross. Help us to pick up our cross, take up our cross, and follow You every day. Die to self and live for You. And bless Creed's family as they're going through this time of loss. All gain for his grandma, though. Saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless his mama this Mother's Day. That You'd help her and strengthen her, give her peace and comfort. We ask these in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, Lord willing, we'll see you all Wednesday night. No nursing home this afternoon. Nursing home next week, about 1:30, 1:15, 1:30. But, praise the Lord.